Greetings, everyone. Open your Bible now to Psalms 120. Be sure to take out your outline so you can follow along. And normally I do an exposition. I am not doing an exposition this morning because this is an introduction to an unusual portion of Scripture. But it just feels out of place not to start with some reading of Scripture. So let's read the first of the group known as the Songs of Ascent. Psalm 120. Follow along as I read. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, or what shall be done to you, you false tongue? Sharp arrows of the warrior with coals of the broom tree. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, and I dwell among the tent of Kedar. My soul hath dwelt too long with one who hates peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Let's pray. Father, be with us this morning as we move back into your marvelous hymn book known as the Psalms. And we come here that we come to grips with the people of old, your people of old, had a struggle with the world in which they lived in. No different than we do today. The world is no friend of grace, and the world is not one to help us along in our journey and in our walk with you. They are always resisting and clashing and keeping us from you. Father, we pray that we would take to heart this portion of Scripture in their collectiveness. They speak of a people and a journey as they come to worship you, as they come to do what you have commanded them to do, and that is to gather together to sing of your greatness and your majesty, to hear the teaching and the preaching of your word, to hear of your promises and to hear of your who you are and all that you are as revealed in Scripture. But Father, we pray again. We're back to the Psalms, and it speaks to every possible human emotion from highs to the lows and everything in between, and how we should encounter them, and how we should encounter and prepare our heart in this long journey before you call us home. So, Father, be with it. May you be glorified and we edified. And if there's any in our midst who do not know you, may the Spirit of God convict them and draw them to their need of Christ for their forgiveness. In Christ's name, amen. Well, for the second time in a row, I'm doing something different in my outline. I was reminded last week I didn't have three in the evening service. I had 4 points. This morning, I only have two. I normally keep three, but there was no way to get a third one in here, so we'll leave it at that. You have plenty of room to write with. But what we have here, the introduction of the Songs of Ascent. Point number one, what are the Songs of Ascent? These are the songs, or Songs of Ascent, which consist of 15 consecutive psalms from 120 to 134. Notice the heading. Look at Psalms 120. Should have Psalm 120. Some Bibles will have a theme or a basic overall summation of what we're about to read. And then below that, between that and verse 1, or just above verse 1, a Song of Ascent. You'll see that in Psalm 121, a song of ascent. And you'll find that all the way to Psalms 134. Okay? And so we see that there, this is how we know these are the Psalms of Ascent, or four of them are credited to David. If you look at Psalm 122 with me. My Bible has Psalm 122, the joy of going to the house of the Lord, a song of ascent of David. Four of them are accredited to David. 122, 124, 131, and 133. And then there's one more, and that is in Psalm 127. It speaks to the fact that this particular psalm was accredited to Solomon, where it reads the song of ascent of Solomon. The other 10, we do not know. They're anonymous. We do not know who wrote them. All of them are short. Talk about a radical turnaround from Psalm 119, 176 verses. And in this 15 pack, we have three of them only have three verses. The longest one is consists of 18 verses. The average of the 15 is less than seven verses. Concise to the point. They have also been called the Songs of Degrees, or Pilgrim Songs, or Gradual Psalms. It is thought of as a hymnal within the hymnal, or as Charles Spurgeon would say, a little psalter within the psalter. What we have here, then, many hymn book, 120 to 134, in the midst of the entire psalter of 150 psalms. You look at all the other psalms, they stand alone. There's not really any connectivity, but there is with these 15. Kind of an unusual characteristic of this group. They are originally a self-contained hymn book within the psalms. Why they're called the Psalms of Ascent or Degrees is not certain, but there is a consensus among rabbis and Christian scholars that Jews sang these hymns as they traveled together to God's house in Jerusalem to worship God. If you noted back in the Old Testament when God was working with his people after the Exodus, before Mount Sinai gave him the commandments and kind of their charter, he commanded them there to make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times a year for an annual feast, and they were the Passover, the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times a year, faithful Hebrews made the trip as commanded in Exodus 23, 34, and Deuteronomy 16. These songs were labeled ascent songs, because though traveling to Jerusalem from anywhere would ascend upward topographically in the way of elevation. Jerusalem was built on Mount Zion, which makes it the highest city in the region of Palestine. It is 2,700 feet high, requiring an upward climb for those traveling worshipers. They would sing from the time they left home until they reached the temple, the 15 psalms. Not just connect, but they, throughout their journey, wherever they were situated, they knew and calculated how long it was going to take them to get there. They would take off. Some of them would be gone as much as a month from the time they left, did the sacrifices and went back home. Could be as much as a month. Because travel was slow in those days. They would sing, like I said, until they reached the temple. We see that in Psalm 134, the last of this group. Not only was it a literal ascent, many commentators also believe that the metaphorical in our upward calling to walk with God and to seek His presence, and any time you seek and to pursue to be in the presence of God, it will be an upward journey, never a downward. Because He is infinitely holy and we are not. There are so many things dragging us, and yet we are still called to go up. It's not just about altitude, but about our entry into the presence of God. Here the Hebrew children were the people whose salvation had been accomplished in the Exodus, and they celebrated that with the Passover in the spring. Their identity was defined at Mount Sinai, and in the giving of the commandment, they renew their commitment of God covenanted people at the feet of Pentecost in the early summer. And their preservation had been secured in the 40 years of wilderness wandering at the feet of the tabernacle in the fall. It reminded them of God's provision and keeping his promises to care for his people to get them into the promised land. They were, in essence, summarizing this, a redeemed people, a commanded people, and a blessed people. And the yearly trio of journeys was to remind the people that they were his people and he was their God. This journey that God commanded was expected. Every Jewish male had to make the journey. And it was all to renew again and again who they were, and that they were pilgrims and followers of the one true God, Yahweh. The singing of these 15 songs is a way both to express their faith, sing his praises, and to calm their ancient soul as they journey in this life. We should admire the tenacity of these ancient pilgrims to reach their destination was not as simple as purchasing a flight to Jerusalem on Expedia. It was a long, dangerous journey. They risked their lives to reach the city of God. They left the comfort and security of home. The pilgrims who first sang these songs knew full well that their trip would include the threat of wild animals, thieves, or the unforgiving element of nature, and yet they set out nonetheless to obey God and to go worship him where he asked them to worship him, Jerusalem. In the midst of the journey, when he gave these commands, they were given these promises. Listen, if you're taking notes, you want to write these down. Exodus 34, verse 22 through 24. And you shall observe the feast of weeks of the first fruit of the wheat harvest and the feast of ingathering at the year's end. Three times in the year, all your men shall appear before the Lord God of Israel. Here's the promise. For I will cast out the nation before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before the Lord your God three times in a year. One of the questions had always been asked, what happened when the family leads make the journey and their plates are left unattended? What about all the nations around them? They, by faith, had to trust God that nobody's going to touch their land. Nobody's going to covet your land. Nobody's going to desire your land. I will protect you. You simply obey and come. Deuteronomy 11:25 says it this way, no man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread. What would this look like? How did it come across? How did it proceed by the people on the outside? And I thought one of the best pictures I could find was the same scenario as when they were set to position themselves to go in and conquer during the conquest stage of the book of Joshua and claim the promised land. God said it this way in Joshua chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. And said to the men, I know that the Lord had given you the land. What we have here is outsiders coming in and saying, hey, we know about you folks. Your reputation precedes you. And here's what they're saying. I know that the Lord had given you the land, the promised land, and that the terror of you had fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites and on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our heart melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. And here's why. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth below. He didn't say, we are fearful because you are a mighty army. You are more than that. You are equipped for battle. Your God is bigger than ours. They knew. That's why this particular group didn't fight them. The journey through these Psalms, we're reminded, beloved, of who we are, who we belong to, and where we're going, which are the basic things that we need to constantly readjust and reestablish and reset regularly with ourselves. We get distracted, we kind of get off the rails, we kind of lose our way, we forget about, and we begin to think like the world, and or that God is not in control. We begin to say, I hope versus I know He is in control. And so we see here, not only of who we are, who we belong to, and where we're going. 12, another theme that reoccurred in this psalm is that of a blessing. 12 of the 15 songs make some allusion to the well-known Aaronic benediction found in Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. Famous, well known. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That is saturated throughout the Psalms of Ascent. These hymns are to motivate us, encourage us, and to guide us. Question I pose to you this morning, in the world in which we live, is your heart and mind in heaven? Or do you constantly just keep it down here at this level? Is your heart and mind in heaven? These 15 songs will help us to get it back there. In this journey, in this world, seeing people around with possible dangers from all sources and all sides, they sang the song to get their mind where it should be, their heart to align to the truth that they're singing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 in the New Testament said that if you then are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth. A lot of the reasons why we get anxious and fearful and kind of lose our way is we are not looking to God above and to know who He is and all that He is and as He had revealed. I love the psalm we read for our reading, Psalm 77. Ask hard question. Never would give an answer. But nevertheless, I'm going to think about all that you've done in the past. I'm going to think about how you had your work. I'm going to declare your work. And he got back to remembering again and again and again how God had delivered. And yet somehow, before that moment in the psalm, it was all of these hard questions. Did you give up on it? Did you quit? Have you given, is your wrath on it and it ever going to ease up? Isaiah 2 verse 3 says, many people shall come and say, come, Let it go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach it his way. We shall walk in his path, for out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That is a picture of the people climbing, and you're going to the temple. You're going to the place where God and his presence will be, and his, above all, he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in them. It's not simply to go through the motions of a ritual. It is to go to meet God and to hear his word and to learn to walk in his ways in a new resolve. So when you descend back and go home, you have a resolve until the next journey. Isaiah 30, verse 29, says, you shall have a song. And in the night, when a holy festival is kept, the gladness of heart adds when one goes with a flute to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. It's all about that ascent to the presence of God, that scene in the physical ascent to go to Jerusalem. Stephen Ewell said this, quote, they guide us into the path of God-glorifying desires, God-magnifying emotion, and God-honoring thoughts. They equip us to pray in faith as they beckon us to fix our eyes heavenward. That's what these songs will do. Though they're short, though many of us can't, we'll know a few verses out of them, but collectively, they help us to stay the course. So, beloved, when we lose our way and become distracted or tempted away from the path, these songs will help us to look to God in every circumstance of life. It's when we disbelieve, have unbelief, or dismiss what he says in the way of promises, it's when we find out we have trouble internally, struggling with doubt, sinful emotion, questioning him. Why would you question him when you're not listening to him? It's like him saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Why do you doubt me when you don't do my words or take me at my word in my promises? When we look to him, beloved, it strengthens our faith and enlarges our hope. In these songs, we see the people of God are treated with contempt and scorn. You're going to see it. We saw it right here in Psalm 120. We have a bunch of people who use their tongue and they're like a sharp arrow, like a fire. And yet it said that indeed, they will be treated with contempt and scorn. Throughout these psalms, you'll see that they come to near extinction. They'll fall into, they'll be trapped set for them. They'll be put into bondage and affliction. And yet, they are still here today. And they still make this journey, meaning in the light of the text we have. Even after the Israelites settled in Canaan, the promised land, the Lord required them to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Even once they got into the promised land, I still want you to make the journey. Man, Lord, this is a big sacrifice. Imagine you men having to take a couple weeks. You know, we can get there a little quicker than 3 times a year to fulfill the obligation to our God. It's a big sacrifice. Big sacrifice. That reminded them, spiritually speaking, that they were still pilgrim people and needed to depend on the Lord. Though you have a land, you're still pilgrim. Point number two, purpose of these songs. While we're in this world, there is a sense where we are out of place, in a foreign land, or we're just passing through. We are pilgrims traveling to a city whose builder and maker is God. The Bible speaks much of the concept of being a pilgrim. A pilgrim is a people going someplace, going to God by way of Jesus Christ. We live in a world that living for self, living for the here and now, living for the material, living for the next blessing. Their theme is life is good. Our whole model and theme is all for His glory. Solo Deo Gloria. So we are pilgrims. We don't live for the things of this world, but for Christ, His work, and His glory. We see that exemplified in Hebrews 11, known as the Hall of Faith. Verse 9 and 10, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in the foreign country, dwelling in tent with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Here, even in this, it speaks to the fact that he saw himself going in to a foreign country. Tents, the idea, tents, you're always setting them up, breaking them down, move on. Set up, break down, move on. No sense of permanence. Later on in verse 13, it said, all these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew that God did not keep His promises. It wasn't for them to see realized. It came later, to the seed later. But they always knew that they were strangers and pilgrims going through this world. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 said this, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is what these songs will help us to do. We are not to go through this world as tourists, trying to get all that we can and every trinket of this world. We are pilgrims passing through to our heavenly home. That is where our citizenship is. We see, beloved, remember, our citizenship is in heaven. Luke 10, verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Here our Lord trying to cool down the excitement of the disciples who had the ability now to cast out demons. And he said, you need to rejoice more in the fact that your name is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 through 24, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirit of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speak better things than that of Abel. Oh, beloved, our citizenship is there. We're just passing through, doing all that we can to magnify and exalt Him before He calls us home. These psalms, these hymns, in this collective Psalms of Ascent will help us to keep growing and taking those steps to do what God would have us to do. One of the greatest events in the history of Israel is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 to what I believe is one of the greatest verses in all of Scripture, which will be the first one that I will read. For those taking note, verse 11 through 15, this is the idea of of Solomon being ordained, it said that yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted and head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. And then he closed with these words. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you. Pilgrims, as were all our fathers, our days on earth are as a shadow. They're gone. Beloved, make your life count. And these songs of ascent will help us to do that. To sing them, to think of them, to ponder their truth. 1 Peter 2:11 said it this, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul. Stephen Ewell again said, we know the spiritual atmosphere in which we live erodes faith, dissipates hope, and corrupts our love. But it is hard to put our finger on what's wrong and how to fix it and repair it. This is where these songs will help. One of the drawbacks of our world, and Christians are not exempt from, is that we assume everything worthwhile can be acquired quickly. We assume that if something can be done, it can be done fast and efficiently. Our attention spans seem to have been conditioned by 30-second commercials. Our sense of reality has been reduced to a 30-page clip notes. Our entire biography of a lifetime of development and achievement has been condensed into a 2-hour movie. And we are used to sound bites and short, incomplete messages that have been grossly abbreviated. Many don't even realize that the sun rises gradually. What am I trying to say? Things don't come like that. Things don't come fast. Though it's true to the maturing at the child of God with their God. Life is seen as fast, rushed, and hurried. We think we're making progress in our lives, souls, and spiritual walk with the Lord. Eugene Peterson said it this way in his classic book on the Psalms of Ascent. Quote, millions of people in our culture make decisions for Christ, but there is a dreadful attrition rate. Many claim to have been born again, but the evidence of mature Christian discipleship is slim. In our kind of culture, anything, even news about God, can be sold if it's packaged freshly. But when it loses its novelty, it goes to the garbage heap. There is a great market for religious experience in our world. There is little enthusiasm for the patient acquisition of virtue, little inclination to sign up for the long apprenticeship of what earlier generations of Christians called holiness. End quote. One author summarized it by saying this, today's passion for the immediate and the casual seems to mark the church. Everyone is in a hurry. Everyone wants shortcuts, and we are all impatient for results. Think of the long journey while singing these hymns. When we buy in and drink in that spirit, we have developed a lifestyle of a tourist. And we only want high points, no details, and by all means, don't take forever. Short to the point. Beloved, you can't read a short and a point in a Bible this thick. It take 365 days or 20 minutes every day to get through this book for an average reader. You cannot do that quickly. And yet, beloved, if we're going to strive for something important, valuable, and lasting, we must develop endurance to maintain what Eugene Peterson classified as a long obedience in the same direction. It wasn't easy if you were embarking at the northern tip of the Palestine and had to go a long way to Jerusalem, but you still had to make the journey three times a year. Imagine what it was like when you got there. You were gouged with price gouging with knowing about the religious leaders during Jesus' time. How they, most people couldn't bring their sacrifice with them, so they bought it when they got there. Pre-approved by the priest. Clean. Passed the test. Grade A, but it will cost you. Didn't matter. Long obedience in the same direction. It is at this point that we realize the world does so much to discourage us in our journey. They're not helping us. That's why we need to remember verses like 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 and 18. For our light affliction, for a moment, it's working for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things with our seeing, but the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, we live by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11, 25 and 6, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He looked to the reward. Beloved, as God's people must take the high ground and strive for the high calling of doing the will of God. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Everything I'm pointing out to is strangers and pilgrims, but this journey is always up, ascending. Not only are we a pilgrim, we're a disciple. A disciple is a student who spends their entire life in learning, following, and imitating the life of the master. Our master is then no one other than our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he said in Matthew 10:24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher. And a servant like his master. Later on in that same chapter, verse 38, he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. So in summary, the Song of Ascent was not simply to describe a journey to Jerusalem. It was to prescribe how they were to experience the journey to Jerusalem. To have the right attitude and the right thought and the right frame of mind. Not, oh my, here we go again. First of the three this year. But as looking forward for the gathering of the saints, for the praising of their God who gave them the land that they have. These songs of ascent or degrees will help us to be steady, say the course. It will help us to keep our focus on our great and glorious God, reminded of who we are in Christ. And also reminded where we're heading and guided in that direction. Remember, you're going there and here's how you do it. In the direction if we are listening. So I encourage you to read the Psalms of Ascent. They're short. It's not like reading Psalm 119, which is a while. I'll mention that take more than 20 minutes, unless you're a speed reader. But the Psalms of Ascent, read them slowly, prayerfully, meditatively, and may God use it in our journey through the miniature psalm within the psalm for His glory. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come before You. You have now charted what we're going to learn and help it to, with bated anticipation, long and look forward to each time we come together. May we honor You and glorify You in the proper application of these great truths. We thank You for all that You are and who You are. And I don't think it could be any simpler than the fact that we need to always be reminded that we are Your people and You are our God. Help us to live as such. In Christ's name, amen.